Well, thank you for tuning in today. My name is Kevin Snyder, and I am publishing consultant with Right Way Publishing Company. Today, we are talking to Robert Azar, who has spent over 35 years understanding the intricacies of Asian culture. He has logged over 1 million flight miles traveling to, from, and within Asia. He lived in Japan for 6 years and Seoul, Korea for 1 year. He has worked for Japanese companies and over the last 25 years has successfully developed and managed U.S. businesses in Asian markets within a variety of industries. In his latest book, Navigating Japan's Business Culture, A Practical Guide to Succeeding in the Japanese Market, Robert has shared his knowledge of the cultural differences between capitalism in Japan and the United States that can act as stumbling blocks to unprepared U.S. companies desiring to succeed in the Japanese market. He's identified those differences and provides real, actionable solutions to convert these cultural differences to attributes for U.S. business success in Japan. Today, we'll be talking to Robert about his experience and his new book. So, Robert, thanks so much for your valuable time today. How are you doing?
I'm fine, and thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you, Kevin.
All right. Well, I've read your book, and I'll be quite honest, I found it fascinating. What prompted you to write your own new book?
Well, yeah, I was kind of surprised at how I decided to write it, too, because it certainly wasn't in my plan. What happened, well, there are a few reasons that kind of coalesced. The first is that this year, 2016, happens to be my 35th year anniversary of engaging in business between America and Asia. And so I was thinking about and talking with friends about, you know, what would be a meaningful way to celebrate that. And of course, everyone is saying, let's have a party this or do this. And it was all great stuff, and we've enjoyed a lot of those things. But at the same time, I wanted to do something that would be a little more meaningful, shall we say, that would leave something to future generations that would help others as well. So I figured this would be an ideal way to commemorate this milestone of 35 years of U.S.-Asia business. And another thing that prompted me to want to write the book is I had always believed that once a person reaches a certain point in their career, in their life, in their success, that it's really time to give back and to help others. I know I've certainly been helped by so many people along the way, and I never forgot that. I couldn't have done it without the help of so many people. And so this is my way of saying, okay, I'm going to give back and pass on this knowledge and the experiences of 3.5 decades so that it might benefit others. And then the last thing that kind of really made it concrete was that a few years back, I volunteered to teach a class on doing business in Japan at the North Carolina Japan Center. And when I did a search for some good reading materials, I discovered that no books have actually been written on this subject of how to succeed in business in the Japanese market. And so I said, okay, well, maybe it's time we correct that situation. Right. And so for all those reasons, I just decided to write the book.
Well, those are three good reasons. So, and I noticed, you know, your book's been published recently and already received very strong reviews, not only from what I could tell senior business and government officials in America, but also in Japan. What do you think accounts for that type of response?
Yes, I was really gratified by that. Well, as one former Ministry of International Trade and Industry official, that's Japan's Department of Commerce, if you will, wrote in his review of the content of the book, he called it unprecedented in terms of its depth of understanding of Japanese business. And the reason for that is that the book is really based on 35 years of hands-on experience that I had in the trenches of international business. I didn't do this business by remote control from America, speaking on the phone or whatever. I did it by actually being in country, and doing it directly for 35 years. So it's a lot of accumulated knowledge and experiences, and that kind of makes it unique. And the other thing that kind of sets apart my understanding or approach to dealing with Asia, is that my background is unique compared to most other business executives. Let me take a second to explain that. I've had 10 years of formal academic training in Asian culture, politics, economics, history, philosophy, literature, just across the board. And together with that, that enabled me to understand the cultural context for Japan's business practices. Most foreign execs, they go to a country, that's the first time they encounter the cultural differences there. They have no background in it, they're not familiar with it. But I was already well familiar with the culture, and when I saw business differences, I could connect the dots between the culture and the business practices. So it kind of gave me a unique understanding, a unique perspective that is both comprehensive and revealing in a way that has not been achieved before.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, you mentioned the word unique a few times, and I would completely agree with you. It seems that the book's content is unique compared to especially other books written on business in Japan.
Right.
You've kind of shared that a little bit already, but explain that a little bit more. I mean, just about your book's uniqueness.
Sure. Yep. And this, I really realized this point, as I mentioned earlier, when I was doing a search for reading material for the class I was teaching at the Japan Center, all the books that are available on the subject of doing business in Japan or succeeding in Japan, whatever, they all cover topics like how to exchange business cards, the importance of giving gifts, the need to play golf together with Japanese executives, the role of going out for dinner or drinks in the evening, for instance. That's social etiquette. It's not business. It's important to know, right. But it's not business. And my book deals with actual aspects of business, core aspects of business. So each chapter deals with a central part of business, such as negotiating, management, sales, marketing, human resource development, product research and development, distribution, etc. So in this way, the content is truly unique. No other book deals with these actual aspects of business in any kind of way at all.
Right. Well, let's go a little deeper then. Let's cut the onion. How does the book approach those topics?
Right. Yeah, great question. Well, the way I set it up is that the book has three focuses. The first is to identify and discuss how business is conducted differently in Japan. And then the second focus is to explain the cultural background or the cultural foundations for those different business practices. What's the reasons why it's that way? And that helps us to understand it correctly. Because often those differences in business practices are misunderstood by Americans. So if we can understand where they're coming from culturally, that will enable our executives to better do business with Japanese. And then the third approach or focus of the book is once we've identified how it's different and why it's different, the cultural background, the cultural reasons, the third part of the book focuses on practical and proven methods for American executives to deal with those different business practices. So that's why the subtitle is A Practical Guide for Succeeding in the Japanese Market. It's hands-on, proven strategies that I've developed over 3.5 decades of just simply because I was there and I needed to come up with a solution that would work and move business forward for American companies.
Wow, that's great. I mean, thank you for that. That I think for any listener, that's going to help them really be clear that when they read your book, it's very practical and actionable. So that's pretty powerful. So, I mean, business culture.
Certainly.
Business culture. I mean, of all the topics, I mean, that's an unusual topic. Why did you write about business culture?
Yeah, I know. I'm laughing because I totally agree with you. It is a unique topic. Not much has been written about it. And that was the response of some of my closest colleagues in Japan and other Asian countries, as well as here in the States and in Europe. Well, the reason I decided to write on business culture is that as I came to learn over my career, is that culture is one of the most important factors that influences American businesses overseas and actually drives business success or lack of success overseas. The following is one example of how cultural values can directly impact a business. As Americans, we place high value on quote-unquote fairness, We talk about it all the time. We say free trade, fair trade. Well, the fact of the matter is, when we look into it, no other country emphasizes free trade as much as we do. Not only do they not emphasize, they don't even talk about it as much as we do. And the reason is totally cultural. So in our society, fairness is a cultural value that's given a very high priority and importance. But the point is, that's not the case in most other countries. For instance, fairness is less important in Europe and even less so in Asia. Mm-hmm. And why is this so? The reason is that different countries give priority to different cultural values. And it's those dominant cultural values, those values that are dominating a given society, that influence how business is conducted and what is expected, therefore, of American executives and companies when we go knocking on the door of Japan and other Asian countries. So these differences and cultural values are the underlying causes of differences in business practices. And in this way, business is conducted differently in different markets because of differences and cultural values. So if American executives do not understand how and why business is conducted differently in overseas markets, how can we truly expect to achieve maximum success there? We're kind of going in with one hand tied behind our backs, so to speak.
Absolutely. And somewhat blindly. That's amazing. That's fascinating. So, I mean, not many Americans are able to write authoritatively on Asian business practices and culture. Tell us a little bit more about your background that qualifies you to do so.
Right. Yeah. Well, gosh, how much time do we have for this interview, Kevin? Well, I've spent a lifetime studying about Asian culture, working in Asian culture, trying to understand Asian business and culture. And as a result of that, as I mentioned earlier, I have 35 years of hands-on experience in U.S. Asian business. And all of that, I was very fortunate to have all of that business at the business experience at the executive level. But in addition to the 35 years of direct experience, I have 10 years of formal academic training and field research in Asian culture. And that training I had before starting my business career. And as I mentioned earlier, most execs will go to a country and be totally unfamiliar with the culture and try to learn about it, if they're even interested to learn about it, while they're there. So they're just starting to go through the learning curve. My experience was unique because I had 10 years of formal training before starting my business career. So that's a decade of foundation of research and understanding, and ability to comprehend what are the cultural reasons why Japanese or Koreans or Chinese or whatever the country might be, why do Asians act the way they do? Why do they respond the way they do given situations? And so I could apply those dynamics to the different facets of business as I saw them. In addition, I lived in the Far East for 7 years, as you pointed out in the intro to this interview, 6 years in Tokyo, Japan, and 1 year in Seoul, Korea. I'm fluent in reading, writing, and speaking the Japanese language to the point where I've been interviewed on major Japanese TV and radio shows as a commentator on U.S. Asian affairs, speaking in Japanese. I logged over 1 million flight miles traveling to, from, and within 9 countries in Asia. But what really makes my experience unique is that by the time I commenced my business career, I already had that formal training and background in Asian culture. And as I said, that just gave me such a different vantage point than most American or European execs have when they're assigned to work in Japan or other Asian countries. So I think for all those various reasons, and just a strong passion to understand Asian culture. I don't know the reason why, but from a very young age, 15 actually, I was drawn to Asian culture and just fascinated by it. And, you know, I'm one of those people who've always believed in following one's heart in life, and that's what I did. And so that always drove me. It wasn't just work. It was a passion. Mm-hmm. And as we know, when we're passionate about something, that's when we tend to perform better at it and excel at it. And that's what enables that passion, that driving passion that enables us to bring out the best in us as professionals and people in whatever endeavor we're engaging.
Wow. Well, next time I go over to Asia or Japan specifically, I'm going to ask if you'd like to be my tour guide. So.
Okay, you got it.
you know, in your book, you know, we've been discussing the role of cultural values in business. I mean,
right.
help us, our listener, kind of, you know, what's your definition of culture? What does that mean?
Right. Yes. Thanks for asking, Kevin. That's really a very important point here. By culture, I obviously do not mean music, art, literature, you know, other areas of the humanities. I define culture as the sensibilities of the people, the preferences of the society, the customary norms by which people live, view the world, make decisions, and relate to each other. These sensibilities, preferences, and norms bring with them their own complex web of cultural nuances, unspoken expectations, and built-in requirements that are unique to each country. And if we fail to understand and account for those different cultural factors, then our companies shortchange their chances for achieving optimal success in overseas market, even before they get on a plane to fly to Japan or Korea or China or Vietnam. So that's why they're so important to understand, and that's how I'm defining culture in the book and in our discussion here. And when I work with clients, that's the culture, quote unquote, that I'm interjecting into the normal way of approaching a market.
Right. Well, culture, nice description, because it definitely is powerful and important. How important is it actually, though, in business? I mean, we talk about culture, just, you know, our different cultures, but in business itself, why is culture important?
Yeah. In my experience, culture is perhaps the most important factor in business. Why would I make such a bold statement? Because culture determines how business is approached and how it is practiced in each country. Culture impacts the relationship between companies engaged in business with each other, and how do they interact with each other? What are the dynamics? What are the rules? What are the must-dos and shouldn't-dos? That's all culturally determined and defined. Culture determines which of your products will sell well in Japan or China and which will not. It determines what features a product must have if it is going to sell well. Culture influences so many facets of business, such as product packaging. Certain packaging styles are not accepted in one part of the world while they are in another. For instance, black, we think, is very sleek and sexy in America and for the most part in Europe as well. But in Japan, anything wrapped in unadorned black, just, you know, simple black, is taboo, because in their culture it's associated with death. So obviously you don't want to export a product to Japan wrapped in that type of black color. No one's going to go near it. And so culture also influences advertising and marketing and product size, negotiating, management, strategic planning, manufacturing, communication. Just about every facet, major facet of business is directly impacted by culture. The point is that most of us aren't aware of it, because when we only do business in our domestic market, there's no reason for us to think about, well, what's the which is culturally appropriate. We just somehow know, right? Because it's how we're socialized. It's a given. It's taken for granted. But when you go to another country, what happens most of the time is that our companies take for granted that the same cultural values, preferences will apply in these foreign markets that do in the States. And that's the mistake, because most of the time they do not. Some may transfer over, but most of the time a majority of them do not. Mm-hmm. And that's what shortages or limits, if you will, the success of our companies as we go and try to crack these very wealthy, very promising, but very challenging Asian markets.
Wow.
So I've been doing this for quite a while now, and in my 35 years of international business experience, when we step back and look at the reasons, the actual reasons why American companies do not achieve their maximum success potential on the one hand, or on the other hand, just outright fail in these overseas markets, the fundamental reason keeps coming back time and time again to reasons that are culture related. And that's why I just feel so important, I feel so strongly about this topic mm-hmm. of business culture. And that's why, you know, I wanted to take the time and make the effort to write the book. And hopefully, as I said earlier, this will benefit many execs going forward.
Well, there's been a lot of talk, especially recently, about cultural competency. And
right.
you know, based on what we've discussed here, I can see why it's important. But you know, let me ask, in your experience, just how important is cultural competency?
Of course, I totally agree. Cultural competency, as we've been talking about, is very important in business. Let's get specific. Let's look at some specific examples. Okay. The first one I'm going to share is a bit dated, but it's the most powerful example I've ever seen on the role of cultural competency or the lack thereof in business, in international business. And then that example is the experience that Chevrolet had with their Nova model. It was the best-selling car in our country back in the 70s, and they were expecting, and rightly so, similar success when they began to market it in overseas countries. When they went to Latin America, however, they had a very shocking and totally unexpected experience. The Chevy Nova did not sell at all there. And GM's execs were, you know, just shocked, and back in Detroit, they're scratching their head, trying to figure out what the reason was. They couldn't understand why. So as Chevrolet was frantically searching for the reason or reasons why it wasn't selling well, they finally learned that in the Spanish language, the word Nova means, quote, does not go. You know, vamos says to go. No means obviously does not. So, wow. You know, Nova means does not go. So, you know, is it any surprise that a Spanish-speaking customer would not want to buy a car whose model's name is does not go?
I wouldn't.
I don't. You know, we're laughing here, but we have to keep in mind that at the time, this was not known to the execs back in Detroit. So a total oversight, if you will, an example of how a lack of awareness of cultural differences can totally derail an American company's otherwise successful product. Another example is the very different experience that American and Japanese automakers had in selling cars in each other's markets. The Japanese car manufacturers, as we know, have enjoyed great success in our market here in the States. And at the height, they gained as much as 38% of our total auto market. I mean, it's incredible, nearly 40%. In contrast, for decades, our cars never really met with much success in Japan. Why the stark contrast? You would think if their cars sell well here, we like them. Cars that are liked by Americans here would likewise sell well in Japan, right? I mean, it's kind of logical. But the reason is that in Japan, steering wheels are always on the right side of the car, you know, just as they are in England. But for decades, our manufacturers never bothered to switch the steering wheel from the left side of the vehicle to the right side for those cars that they were going to export to the Japanese market. And until they did, their cars did not sell well. So, contrast, the Japanese manufacturers were willing to accommodate this cultural, they were aware of the cultural difference and willing to accommodate it. Our manufacturers were not aware of, or if they were, they were not willing to accommodate it. And that's the result of not having done so. And think about it. If the Japanese automakers, you know, Honda, Nissan, et cetera, had not put the steering wheel on the left side of the vehicle, what kind of result would they have had trying to sell cars in America with right-handed steering wheels? I mean, there's no way they would have captured 38% of the U.S. auto market. I mean, after all, in America, the only people who drive vehicles with steering wheels on the right side are postal employees who deliver mail in small towns, you know, to drive down the street and stop at each mailbox and put mail in. That's it. You know, so those vehicles account for less than 1% of the auto market in America, obviously nowhere near 38%. So yet again, you know, very clear example of how cultural differences significantly impact the bottom line of our company's performances in overseas markets. It's just a point just can't be emphasized enough.
Right. Well, those are two powerful examples, and I mean that those are two examples of that. You know, look at history, and history can teach us a lot. And as it relates to cultural competency, it sounds like, you know, you clearly agree and understand the importance of it in international business.
Yes, absolutely do. However, I go much further than what everyone is calling cultural competency. You know, in my view, cultural competency is not even half of what American businesses need to truly succeed in global business. Let me take a minute to explain what I mean by that. Cultural competency generally focuses on describing the cultural traits of other countries that are different from ours. For example, Asian cultural competency will explain Asian cultures tend to be more group-oriented than America. Their decision-making is more group-oriented, while ours is more top-down, things like that. But that only gets an American company, that level of understanding only gets an American company on first base in terms of succeeding in international business. Second base is clearly understanding how and why business is conducted differently mm-hmm. in other countries. That is the cultural foundations of those business differences. And third base is knowing in a concrete way what to do about those differences in those cultures. And advancing from third base to home plate to finally succeed and score a home run in foreign markets requires being able to not only really know about those or what to do about it, but to be able to effectively implement those measures. In other words, to be able to effectively manage mm-hmm. one's business given those differences in culture and business practices. So more than cultural competency, Kevin, in my view, it's what I call intercultural management that is the key to succeeding in global business in the 21st century. It's one thing to be aware that business is conducted differently and what those cultural differences might be through cultural competency, but more importantly, it's an entirely different thing to be able to effectively manage and run your business in those markets with different cultural values and business practices. This can only be done with effective intercultural management. And that is why my book, that is what my book is about, and that is why it's so unique in terms of its content. And that is that has always been the most valuable part of the service I've been able to bring to clients over the years that I've worked with in an advisory capacity.
Wow. Well, you clearly have demonstrated not just expertise and experience, but also knowledge, and we appreciate you for that. Tell our listeners, how can they keep in touch with you? Your website, your email, how can they get in touch with you?
Yes, thanks for asking. Sure. The easiest way would be my website, which is AsiaStrategicAdvisors.com, all one word, AsiaStrategicAdvisors.com. And you can reach me there.
And your book, I know that it's available on a few websites, but I would imagine it's on Amazon, correct?
Correct, yes. That would be the easiest and quickest way to get it. And one last point, if I may, Kevin, about the book. The title, of course, is Navigating Japan's Business Culture. And the book primarily focuses on Japan, but I just want to reiterate that while that is certainly the case, the book was specifically designed and written to serve as a blueprint manual for American execs going to other Asian markets as well. And what I mean by that is that what to look for, the types of challenges that our execs face in Asian markets are the same from country to country. What's different, however, is the actual cultural solution. That varies from country to country, you know, because obviously depending on the cultural values and business practices of a given country. But what to look for, the problematic areas, are transferable to any market. So in that way, while it's a book about Japan, it's also a book not just Japan.
Right. Well, Robert, thank you so much for your time today and sharing your thoughts with our listeners. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Good to be with you.
Again, this is Kevin Snyder with Right Way Publishing Company. You listened to a fascinating interview with Robert Azar, who wrote the book, Navigating Japan's Business Culture, A Practical Guide to Succeeding in the Japanese Market. You can find it on Amazon.com. And for any questions about Right Way Publishing, simply visit www.rightwaypublishingcompany.com.